From Noble Robot on East Hennepin Avenue in festive Minneapolis, this is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk games and games development.
I'm Lydia Simchich, and I make nice games.
I'm Steve McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Arthur Croy. I, too, make nice games. In this episode, we talk with Mark DeLora, GDC's Executive Director for Innovation and Growth, to discuss reinventing GDC. And so, if everyone's ready, let's start. Mark, thank you for joining us. You're on a bit of a press tour, so we're happy to be one of your whistle stops.
Mm-hmm. Nice to meet y'all. I didn't realize you were in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's cold. Sorry, the thing I noted when I left my house.
Steven, we saved the weather talk for the episodes without guests.
I know, I'm sorry.
No, it's all good.
He's just mad that we had our first snow today.
We did. Yeah.
Oof, oof.
Yeah.
All right. More on that next week, I suspect.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a lot to talk about. GDC is a huge topic of conversation this time of year, of course, when the next event is announced, and of course, around the time of March when it happens. But before we get into all of that, I want to talk a little bit, just because we've got you. You've got a really storied career, and I would love for you to introduce yourself to our listeners.
Oh, thank you very much. First off, thank you for having me. It's nice to meet you all. This is my first time seeing you because I was listening to your podcasts in my car.
Oh.
So I've never seen your faces. Yeah, I'm a gray hair. It's true. Got into the industry, I guess proper, what, 94-ish? So I was a virtual reality researcher when I was in grad school at University of Washington at a place called the Hit Lab and at UNC Chapel Hill when I was in grad school. And hey, guess what? VR didn't stick. So when I got out of school, that was the question. It was like, oh, I love, you know, these 3D experiences you can have with other people. I feel like they can change people's lives, you know, based on the stories that you would want to tell. How do I do that? And so I got a job at first working to try to make distributed networked arcade games. Mm-hmm. Huh. Based on the same technology somebody was using for VR. That project never saw the light of day. Big surprise.
as it goes.
Yeah, this is normal, right? So I transitioned to Nintendo at the time that Nintendo 64 prototype hardware was on the horizon, and it was all 3D, so it was perfect. It was like, great, I love 3D, here's 3D, let's go. So I was the engineering lead at Nintendo of America on Nintendo 64, traveling around, talking to developers about how to use it, trying to teach people how to make trees when you have like 20 polygons.
Right.
Which must have been a lot at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. It was. I know. Every time you see a Turok tree, think of me.
Aww.
Yeah. So I was 5 years there until like the same like run up on GameCube. And then left to go run Game Developer Magazine, which was the monthly magazine that was affiliated with this conference back in the day. Mm-hmm. So I met the conference in like 1997, 98. I did a series of books called Game Programming Gems that were just like tomes of wisdom from professionals out there who wanted to share things with other developers that, you know, so we weren't all reinventing the wheel. So we did these books. And then I just loved kind of that role. And so when somebody said, hey, would be interested in coming and helping with GamaSutra.com or Game Developer Magazine, I was like, heck yeah, of course I would want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that. I did that for a year. As it turns out, like running a magazine is hard.
Yeah.
I like games.
Yeah.
It was, so I think I reverted back to Sony after that role and started the developer relations program for Sony PlayStation. This was the end of PS2 and the run up to PS3. And then we also did PSP while I was there. So again, I was there about 5 years. And then I left and was at Ubisoft as head of tech in North America for a while. I was head of tech at THQ as it was spiraling down and attempting to find its way in the environment of mobile games, which didn't go so well. You probably know. and then I got really lucky and wound up working in the White House under President Obama for a couple of years, mm-hmm. not out of any particularly, you know, clever expertise of my own. Like I was a loudmouth political person, but I didn't have those, you know, connections. Mm-hmm. But the administration was interested in video games because they'd seen things like the game Fold It, games like Malaria Spot, which were games that taught the players how to do a thing and then leveraged the thing that they did for some greater good. So to create citizen science for research, this kind of stuff. And so I went to DC and I was there for 2 years, and mostly I wound up, they kind of said, hey, game guy, go do your thing. Didn't give me a lot of constraints, and mostly wound up working on games for learning, and then helping spin up what was turned into the Computer Science for All movement. So computer science education, getting it into K-12 was that same time frame. So that was my 2 years. When I left there, I was like, how can I keep doing that? And the answer is, it's difficult.
Yeah.
Like, that market is not, does not really super exist, right?
You know, learning
games are a thing. Yeah. So I've mostly spent the last 10 years or so as a consultant, working with people who are building learning games, who are looking for funding to build learning games, helping write code and backends and just all the things, whatever I can do basically to accelerate the space.
Oh.
And kept my fingers involved with like computer science education and the maker movement and all that. And then, so it's been, 3 months now, the Game Developers Conference folks reach out. I've been on the conference advisory board off and on. I was on it for 7 years and then went to government and dropped off for a while. And I've been back on it for a while again. So I knew the folks who were there.
Yeah.
Obviously loved the conference. They said, do you want to come on board? We're going to like try to reinvent this thing. Wouldn't that be something you'd be interested in helping out with? And I was like, yeah. And, you know, I've been going to GDC since 97. Like, I love it. There's, you know, I'm full of opinions about it. And if I can be the voice in the room for game developers to try to like push the team to do the right thing for the community, that like, that's a perfect thing for me. The way I think about it is like, we're trying to throw a party for like 30,000 people, all of whom have different things they're trying to get out of the week. And maybe we don't know quite what those are. And we're going to try to set up an environment where they can accomplish those goals, whatever those are. So we're going to attempt to figure out what all those goals are, try to set up situations that help people meet people or tool makers or, you know, whatever, so that people have a good week.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that just sounds like a lot of fun.
That's great. I think you in your, as you recounted your career up to now, I think you were speaking all three of our languages at different parts of that.
Very much so.
Which was really fun. Really, really great. So happy to have you in the clubhouse for that reason as well. Okay, so I think I want to get into the updates to GDC because that's what you're brought on for. But you have this history with GDC.
Yeah.
So I want to sort of put it in context of the GDC that people know.
Yeah.
So as you said, you were invited on to help, but the motivation to change, to update it, was already there. So what can you tell us from your perspective and from what you've worked with your colleagues, what wasn't working with GDC? Why did it need to change?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I'm going to give you my opinion as somebody who's been going to GDC. One of the things that was definitely not working for me is that the show floor didn't have the people on it who I wanted to see.
Yeah.
Right. Like last year, particularly. So 2 years ago, a little bit, I noticed there are a few of the bigs that were missing. And then last year, like all the bigs were missing. So like the engine makers, the platform makers, they were there. They just didn't have a public face, or, you know, maybe they had taken over a floor at a nearby hotel. But if you're an indie game developer and you're trying to make connections with the show, like you may not know they're over in the St. Regis or whatever. And so I just thought that was lousy. I was, you know, as an attendee, I was like, why am I here? How do we fix this? And why is it that they think they don't need to be there? Which is the thing that puzzled me, because when I was at Sony, one of the things that I did was advocate to get PlayStation on the show floor so that we'd have a face, you know, and people, if they had questions, we could meet them. People would know us. Then they could call us or email us, you know, or whatever later. So I was just left with questions. So that was one part of it. And the other thing that jumps to mind is the community that goes out into the field at Yerba Buena Gardens, who I want to meet and I want to talk to. And they're out there and I'm in there, and maybe there's not very much crossover. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, there's multiple solutions to this problem, right? I guess all sorts of things we can try.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like, I especially now, like, I think the industry's had a rough few years, right?
Yeah.
And when you're trying to solve big problems, you want to get all your smartest people together in one place to talk and work through things. And if we're split into different communities and not having those conversations, that doesn't seem, it's not like a healthy ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So those two things are what jumped to mind.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, I think I've gone to a number of GDCs in the past almost 10 years now, And I think after your third time, you finally understand a little bit of the language of the culture of the space.
Yeah.
But by then, you've spent thousands of dollars
right.
on the previous years learning that lesson. And so I can definitely see the need to like make that easier for folks. I'm guessing that's a motivation.
Yeah, I mean, you saying that out loud makes me like want to write notes to myself. Like, we seriously need to check out like what the onboarding is for people. I mean, one of the things that we're going to try this year as an effort around that is to have a big opening night event. And the intent of that is like everybody's coming to town Monday night. You know, we're still working out the details, but like get everybody together for a big mixer so that the arc of the week is like Monday, you're meeting people, you know, making new friends. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're like diving into the stuff that you know, and maybe learning more tips and techniques. And then by Friday, you're like comfortable and swimming in the environment and you're able to like have more crossover conversations. Like I'm an artist and here I've met some really interesting programmers, you know, now we can have these like cross-discipline discussions because I got my feet underneath me a little bit this week.
Yeah.
Maybe that, you know, in a week that's difficult, but that's our hope.
Right? Well, GDC could be a very intense experience for people because there's so much going on. And so having a learning curve would make that experience easier, I would imagine.
I hope so.
I'm sure I've said it on this program, but one of the things that has flummoxed me about the event in years past is like, we're game developers. Like we know we can spot bad UX.
Yeah.
And but it's,
right.
But the size of the problem is enormous to give credit to the organizers. But I think to also put them on blast a little bit, like,
yeah, sure.
You know, it's a lot of years things didn't change and people would come by with the same confusions. And so it's nice to know that the proof will be borne out in the next year or two, but it's nice to know that the motivation is there now to address those concerns. So that's good to hear.
Yeah. And I think if you were to talk to people on the staff, I think they would say the same thing, like that things didn't change as much as they needed to address what was happening, you know? And so now we've got the mandate to do that. So like, let's step up and let's go.
That's good. That's good. Okay. So for the new GDC, I think the first detail I want to ask about is the name.
Sure.
Festival of Gaming. I think that created a lot of confusion with people, especially because it was teased for a good while. People were like, so are they trying to do a half E3 thing? And the Game Developer Conference Festival of Gaming is an interesting, I mean,
I know, right?
But I understand the idea to give it a new name to just highlight that it's different.
Bingo. Yep.
Can you talk a little bit about the, you don't need to defend the name exactly, but the choice to give it a new identity?
Yeah. I think it sounds like you know exactly why you did it. Like a big part of it is like just signaling, like we're attempting to make a change here. Mm-hmm. And I think the key word is the festival part. And I look at the festival part from two angles and well, there's lots of keywords in this. We can talk about this for a while. Where do I go? Cause I've got opinions. you know, on a mechanical level, inside of the company, inside of Informa, which is the company that throws the event, there's a group called the Festivals Group.
Mm.
And so having GDC called Festival lines up with that group. What that means and what's interesting about that, so inside of, this is like inside baseball, but just, you know, in case it's useful, they think of festivals as the thing that has a content program. Mm. So all of the great talks we've always had. Also a show floor. So they do events in other groups that are just show floor, like think like a car show.
Mm.
They do things that are just talks. but then there's this group of unicorns and GDC is a unicorn in this way. And so the other things in the group are the Money 2020 Financial Technology Conference, which has a slightly different model, but it's interesting to look at. There's an event called Cannes Lions. So it takes place in Cannes. So it's beautiful and there are yachts and all the things, but it's not the big Cannes film thing. It's an advertising focused event.
Ah.
That's super interesting. And then Black Hat, the cyber event. I feel maybe most aligned to Black Hat just because it's like kind of nerdy, geeky, you know, stuff. I think.
Sure.
but what's useful is being able to look at these other things called festivals and say, okay, what are the things you guys are doing in this environment that maybe we could learn from, maybe we could try, you know, maybe you've already got some lessons learned and we can like try the thing and see if it sticks in our community or not. Maybe it won't, but we should give it a shot and just see.
Yeah.
So like, let's not limit ourselves to what we've done before. So that's helpful in terms of like guidance for us, like towards festival, what's festival look like? If you look at like what Cannes Lions looks like I get pretty excited because I see people like hanging out on yachts and sipping champagne and hanging out. I'm like, I don't know. Is that going to work for GDC? It sounds fun. But kind of like, like yachts in San Francisco Bay, probably not.
Yeah. Definitely. That would be.
You get
difficult.
A yacht and you put it in Yerba Buena. And then everyone gets on top of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we can just take over Howard Street and, like, put the yacht there.
Yeah.
So that actually raises an interesting question. Is within Informa, was GDC a bit of an outlier as an event?
My sense is that it is.
Mm-hmm.
Just in terms of the amount of content, if nothing else. GDC's, this is one of the things we can talk about more too, is it's challenging to find locations for a GDC to live
because
we have so many talks.
Right.
There aren't many other events that have so many talks, but that's like the heart of GDC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So when we're looking around like, oh, you know, where other places in the universe make sense for GDC? Mm-hmm. The first question is like, do they have enough rooms? Like,
yeah.
How are we going to do that? And a lot of times the answer is no.
Okay.
That is really interesting because I think I'm not particularly interested in litigating the should it be in San Francisco or not. I think people can look up the reasons for and against. I think there are fair arguments that like it needs to be in a more affordable city, but there's also like relationships, momentum. Like it's hard to run something this big, but I've never heard that specific reasoning that it's just literally the amount of rooms. And I didn't realize that was such a constraining factor.
So I'm in Seattle and we just built like an extension to our conference center here.
Sure.
So my first thought was like, hey, can we move to Seattle? That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it also does not have enough space like that.
Okay.
Even if you had enough space, because whenever you have your talks, you record them, they are accessible in the vault.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
If the rooms have the infrastructure to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Because even I went to the Serious Play conference in Rochester over the summer. It was at a university and the rooms were very small, but they were very well like AV integrated, which was awesome.
Yeah.
That is not something that you see in a lot of universities, at least in my experience. Even if you have the right size, is it like, you know, just outlets and cameras and acoustics and all that other stuff? Is that also a factor?
Yeah, I think you're right on it there. First off, I'm so jealous you went to Serious Play because I was supposed to go, but things happened here and I wasn't able to. So
I'm so sorry. It was really fun.
But that's awesome that you did.
We do have an episode, actually, where I talk about it. So if you want to go into our archive, you can listen to my experience.
I am absolutely going to do that.
Always be selling.
Yeah. Never the pitch woman.
Yeah.
No, I'm on it. I felt like a schmuck. I was supposed to speak at it even.
No.
Hey.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, there are spaces that are just big, empty, cavernous spaces, and you can put up air walls, and you know, you could carve it into the amount of rooms that you need. Mm. But you're right. Then you're missing all the wiring and all of this. So
it's
difficult. I think here in Seattle, as another thing we've talked about, just as FYI, the amount of hotel rooms.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. EDC is a pretty big event. I think it's third biggest event in San Francisco. And the number of places that can support that many people, there aren't many. You know, in terms of hotel and space. So it's just challenging. Anyway, challenge.
I do want to talk about the getting into the substance of the changes now. I think you gave us a good transition, which is the festival hall.
Yep.
What's different about it this upcoming year versus the previous expo hall, which for folks who are not familiar, big open space, very similar to what you would see at other convention style events. Sponsor booths, networking would happen ad hoc. Pick up business cards, you get swag.
Yep.
What is going to be different, and why is it different enough to call it a festival hall?
Mm. Yeah, thanks for asking. I realize I drilled down the road on the capital F in festival and in what it means in Informa, but what it means for people is actually really much more important.
Mm-hmm.
But I got distracted, so thanks for asking that.
Well, I think that, to give you credit, though, that context is actually really relevant.
I agree,
You know, inside baseball is inside baseball, but, like, people do, especially game developers, want to know why things are the way they are, because then they can understand, and then that gives them context for their particular context. So that is very valuable to go down that road, I think.
I see you. That's exactly how I feel. Like, if I understand why decisions are being made, I might not agree with them, but now I understand. We can have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I can, you know, so that helped. Yeah. So thank you. So I think about my experience was with the Expo Hall over the years, which was the first few years I was there, I didn't care. I never went.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, whatever. And there was a period of time where, you know, I was at Sony and we were building the booth and we were using it as a way to meet developers we hadn't met. And talk about things that we were working on, get feedback, make deals, da 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 da, and that was super useful. And then And then I spent time as head of technology at a couple of different publishers. And the purpose for me for the expo hall was to walk around and find technologies that I hadn't found before. And try to expand the circle of what middleware we were going to use, what tools I just hadn't found yet, you know, that maybe would help us build our games more effectively and efficiently. And so all of that, and now I'm like, okay, so what's it for now? I'm like, okay. So one of the things we're talking about is like a bunch of the bigs had left. I'm like, okay, well, are they not seeing that the value of the show floor is to meet new devs, or do they not want to meet new devs? Mm. Of course they want to meet new devs, right. But they think they can do it more effectively some other way, apparently. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how do we fix that? And so transitioning to the festival hall, what I think about, actually the first thing I always think about is this fly-through video I saw of somebody at the Money 2020 conference. I think somebody was flying around a drone in the hall of the fintech conference. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I'm not a fintech guy. I'm like, not super excited about that content, but that hall was popping. I mean, there were people everywhere. There were places for you to hang out and network. There were places for you to hang out and work on your laptop. There were speeches. There were like areas for talks that were set up. There were areas that looked like they were for talks that were not set up. Like, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So it was a show floor that was alive. It was a festival floor.
Sure.
It was not, you're going to go here and like see the sponsors who have shown up. You know, you can do that. Yes.
Yeah.
Also, it's like tons of other stuff happening. And so it's a place you're going to go to meet people. It's a place you're going to go because you need to get a bite and you need to hang out and like check your email and there's a seat there and you're going to go there.
Yeah. Because I feel like those sorts of areas could either have the vibe of you go there to be sold at. Or it could be the vibe almost, I think of like birds that make those elaborate nests to attract other birds. So that way then they can meet other birds. It's either like you're trying to make this booth to attract people to then talk to them, or you're building this booth to then make an argument to sell something.
Yeah.
And one of those is very conducive to actually having conversation or building relationships or building community. And one of those is icky feeling sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It can definitely be an icky feeling if you're like, if somebody's trying to hard sell you on something, you're like, why am I here?
Yeah, it has
vote with my feet. Goodbye.
It has a purpose, but it definitely sounds like it's not what you all wanted the purpose to be.
Yeah. Well, I think I want it to be, well, you know, being me, I want it to be all things to all people, which is impossible, but more things to more people would make me happy. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think about this was 2 years ago. The Duolingo folks, so the chief business officer from Duolingo had a talk, and it was in the middle of the show floor, in a kind of, you know, air walled off room, but it was still in the middle of the floor.
Yeah.
And it was like the industry stage or something like that. And I'm like, this is a guy who's not, he's not trying to sell me anything. I'm like, if I'm going to use Duolingo, I'm using Duolingo, right? Not like I haven't heard of it. Mm-hmm. But he was talking about what it was like to try and build a product, you know, that had so many target languages, that shipped in so many territories, what it was like inside the company trying to manage all that and still, you know, make money, but have a free-to-play version of it be the base of it.
Yeah.
And it was freaking fascinating. Mm-hmm. And it was on the show floor in this huge wide open space that I could pop in and out of, you know, as I wanted to.
Yeah.
And I loved that. I didn't have to go stand in line and sit in like a stale room for a talk. And this was a thing that I don't think that it had been pitched as a talk. It was a thing Duolingo wanted to talk about.
Sure.
So they came, you know, and they came and did it on the floor. I'm like, okay, like, I think that probably drove a bunch of people to the floor, and I hope that they saw other things that were useful. So I think it has a purpose for that. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you know, that was probably a little bit difficult for some people to find because they assume the content is over in West.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of interesting things and a bunch of challenging things. I think at the core of it all for me, though, is like what I want is to have a bunch of really interesting things for people to do and places for people to be, like in the midst of everything else. So you're going to find the thing that you didn't expect to find. You're going to be like, oh, I want to talk to the Unity folks. And I walked past Alt-Control GDC. Holy crap, I didn't know about Alt-Control GDC.
You know? Yeah.
And you're going to see like 9 or 10 things you've never thought you would see. You're going to pat a cat on the butt. as a controller.
Yep.
The thing everybody will ever, we'll all talk about for the rest of history, probably, or until somebody tops it.
Yeah, definitely a highlight of the show is the, and it speaks to kind of what you're saying is more of that, like programming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And I imagine there's an if you build it, they will come quality to it. But what kind of programming can we expect this first time out? I imagine a lot of it is still in flux and being planned because right now none of it has been discussed or revealed. Can you talk a little bit about what kinds of things we'd expect to see on the
for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, really, I think the key thing I think about for the festival floor this year is traditionally it's always been a big grid, right?
I'm
looking for booth number 327.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's over there. I'm sure I'll find it over there. Or by 427. So this year we're, you know, that is an efficient and effective thing to do if you are hunting a particular thing.
Right. Mm.
I got the number. I'm going over. Great. But if you're a person who's like, I want to go and talk to people about audio. I want to go talk to people about future technology. I want to, you know, what number are you going to look up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
That's useless. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to split the floor up this year into different neighborhoods that are more centered around what you might be interested in.
Huh.
You know, future tech. Or I should have had the list of five here off the top of my head. I'm spacing on them. But the intent is that like you're going to walk into the festival hall. And you'll be like, okay, I'm focused on this, interested in this particular thing. And you're going to walk over there and you're going to find all sorts of things based around that. So maybe there is an area there for a talk. Maybe there's just a bunch of couches and people hanging out and, you know, people, indie game developers showing their games to each other.
Okay.
And you can go hang and meet new people because that's what that area is for. You know, or there's just, you just need a bite and you're going to walk over to the little area and grab a bite and sit down and meet people who happen to be sitting at the table there. So we want it to be a bunch of different things, but it's more focused around like the thing that it is that you're up to. As opposed to just like this square grid of numbers, right? Which has a purpose. Like we said, like I think a lot of decisions are made over time with particular intents.
Yeah.
And maybe the usefulness of those intents changes, but maybe the original decision was never questioned.
That sounds a lot more, at least to me, it sounds a lot more appealing as a way to experience the expo hall, I guess the festival hall, because like, it oftentimes when I've gone in the past, it just felt like a blob of companies that you were just walking past. And like, I'm a person who really likes free swag, so that appeals to me. But I also,
how are you going to do your like search grid pattern?
I know it's going to be so difficult
like, to see.
It'll be neat to try.
Yeah. Well, there are inherent risks, right? Because sometimes you only have 20 minutes between sessions, and you want that like boring, structured floor.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine there's a balance of concerns.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. The grid sounds very much like how I survive going to the Mall of America, where I look up the stores I need to go to ahead of time and I write down exactly where they are, and then so that way I can get it and get out as quickly as possible.
Sure. Well, it sounds like the aim here is to actually de-incentivize that behavior.
Right.
And
to
incentivize a different kind of appeal of the hall.
Yeah, because that's not ideal. I don't like going there.
Fair enough.
That is a survival tactic.
Yeah, I think that probably, I mean, this is one of the takeaways from the past few years of watching how people were coming into the hall. You know, it was like the way that they used to use the hall is not the way people use the hall now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
well, it's also such an expensive conference.
Right.
Then, especially in indie or positive impact or learning contexts where, you know, it's niche and money is tight and money is from coming from very specific buckets. Mm-hmm. There is a, if you, this could be the only GDC that you could envision yourself being able to go to if you're lucky enough to go. There's so much stuff. How do you decide to do everything? Because you can't do everything. And if you feel like you have to know, like make a plan and stick to the plan and only go to pinpoint things, that really doesn't give permission or time or space to have any of that serendipity that you want.
Right.
Or ideally that you could then have that breeds a lot of this, the better conversations and the better connections and the better moments of learning. But it's coming from a sense of, oh God, I have to make the most of this experience while I can.
Yeah, you can hear the ticker going in your head. Every minute is costing another $20-$30
a yeah, day. Yeah, exactly. You know?
Yeah.
Right,
and I'm already choosing not to go to this talk in order to do this. Did I make the right choice? Yeah. Could I, do I have to make this next talk, you know?
So, I mean, I guess there's a couple of ways. I mean, that is essentially unsolvable problem for an event as big as this.
True.
Especially if you're not sure what you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose I suspect it would be helpful to try to have people remove that panic and let them know it's okay to miss some stuff, I guess. Like, is that something that you're thinking about? Of like, someone can just sit on a couch in the festival hall for half an hour. How do you make them feel like they didn't, that was the best use of their time?
It's a good question. I don't know. I want to go over and give him a hug, but that's
you can't do that for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, that's a conference convention. That's a bigger problem than GDC, I think.
For sure. For sure.
I do feel like that there is a little bit of potential with it being neighborhoods. If you end up talking to like another audio person, then you're more able to say, "Oh, did you see this? Oh, no, I didn't get to. What was their deal?"
Yeah.
Because it's a lot easier to kind of locate that, and then I don't know. I feel like word of mouth is easy about stuff in that area would be easier to transmit if you miss something, or even if just sitting in that one neighborhood, you can see a bunch of things and kind of get osmosis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just being able to listen to other people, even if you're, you know, in the moment feeling shy and you don't want to talk to people or just socially drained. Even if you're just experiencing being around people, that can change how this festival hall can feel in a way that maybe could be appealing to someone and make them feel less. It make it feel less of a waste of time, I suppose, if they were just sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think both of you, you're right on a lot of the things that I keep thinking about. You know, my community, that I embrace mostly lately is the learning community and Games for Learning and kids games.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at GDC and how that group relates to GDC, like we have a couple, like a round table or two every year, and there's a dinner. And then that's kind of it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you're not already integrated into that community, you might not even know that those are happening.
Mm-hmm.
So like the question that I'm landing on over and over is like, what are the pathways to entrance? What are the on-ramps, I guess, is what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
for somebody who's coming in and they're like opening the show program, they're like, holy moly, what have I got myself into? Mm-hmm. Like, who do I talk to? Where do I go? Like, I want them to have a clear idea of how to get started on that.
Yeah.
One of the things that I keep thinking about is like, how do we highlight what well-known people in particular communities are excited about, maybe are going to go to, so we can lift people up. You know, there's the advisory board for GDC. There's like 50 smart game industry people who help choose all of the content at the show, all the talks. And like a lot of those people know, like, okay, well, you know, if we can get Mark Cerny to be like, here's the top 10 things that we're going to do this week. Or Chris Butcher at Bungie, he's like, okay, if you're a hardcore technologist, like here are the things that I think are really important for you to go to. Like that'll give people a head start. And hopefully some of those things are also, you know, social events that are focused around those kinds of people or other areas to scope out. So I think that's incumbent on us. This is a problem with every big conference. Like I remember as visual effects were blossoming and SIGGRAPH started getting huge, huger and huger and huger. Like they tried a couple of different things. They had like a 101 early talk where you could go and get like a minute of each talk so you could get an idea of what talks you're going to go to. There's like a newbie group. Actually, this was, I'm thinking of SIG CSE, the Computer Science Education Conference, as like a newbie lunch. I'm like, that's a really great idea. Like, I don't know anybody. I'm going to go to the newbie lunch. Great. I'm going to meet a bunch of people. Like, just like kind of think about what other things can we do? Because you have a big event, but if it feels like a big event, you know, I think we failed. Like, we need to find ways for you to find your people.
That's a very interesting problem identified, because the past couple of years, we have gone to GDC on press badges.
Yes.
Not me, but those two, just for context.
One of the things that is interesting about that is, because we're also developers, we got to get to have it both ways, which is very nice. And we've talked on the show about how, like, that is, we're lucky to be in that position.
For sure.
But one of the things about it that's fascinating is when you go into the press room, get your badge and your admission, you know, the stuff, they give you a little bit of like here's some recommended slate of talks.
Right. They do.
Now, the press group is small enough that you could do that and then all of them could go to that talks and it wouldn't overwhelm those talks.
Yeah.
But you could, I suppose you couldn't do that solution exactly with different, but you could do something like that perhaps to identify different audiences, maybe even really narrowly, to give them little guides of like too much to handle, like try this. You know, easier said than done, but is something in that neighborhood, because it seems like you're hinting at that being the kind of thing you need to do. How much of that thinking is inventing new ideas, like, you know, a newbie lunch or, you know, some mentorships or something like that, versus leveraging what the conference already is and providing ways for people to navigate what it is already?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really a mix of those things. This is one of the places where I think being in this festivals group is handy, because we can look at what other festivals are trying to do and try to copy some of that. I think more often where I lean typically these days is like, as a body of people throwing a conference, there are a lot of things to do and a lot of smart people and how to throw conferences. Mm-hmm. But what I want is I want to know what you want to go to. And then I want to highlight that to the people at the conference who are like you. Like, I don't want to make stuff up. Like, we can do that with keynotes. So we're talking about having keynotes this year. We haven't had keynotes for ages. We used to have platform keynotes at the show. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, that's an easy way to be like, hey, this one's important.
Yeah.
It's super easy. But you can only do that for a few. And another way that has evolved to do that is the summits. At first, the summits were a thing that most people didn't go to. Like Monday, Tuesday, people didn't go. Right. It was very quiet. Mm-hmm. And then slowly over time now, more people go to the summits than in the expo, than the rest of the week, the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Okay, so their summits are a great way to meet your community, and they have talks based on your community. But we're, as part of this process, trying to take the conference from a 2-day, 3-day thing to a 5-day thing. And you know, you come in and you get access to it all. If we're doing that, what happened to that opportunity for you to meet your people at the summits?
Yeah.
Right. And so now, the answer to that is that the people who organize the summits and people who organize the content are getting together, and they're trying to make blocks of like mini summits over the course of the week. So, okay, we're going to have a bunch of talks in similar categories like together in a row. So you all, you know, are there. This is a scheduling nightmare.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I don't know how you would communicate that kind of that change.
Steven, it's a game of spreadsheets. You would love it.
Well, of course. But
you lock 5 producers in a room for 1 week and they'll get it
done. And whoever
done.
Survives gets to do it.
Yeah.
Yep. There's a giant whiteboard and lots of little tiny post-its.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I think we're going to do that in December. We're actually going to get a group of people together and like literally lock ourselves in and work on that.
Okay.
It's an intractable problem. Like, I want to use some kind of like a crowdsource system or design a game where you're trying to maximize your score of how many people you've made happy or something. I don't know. Like, there's got to be a better solution to this than post-it notes on a whiteboard.
Yeah. One of the things that, as someone who is an indie developer and is interested in many areas, I enjoyed the Indie Summit because it had a variety of talks. But I missed out on so many of the other summits.
Right.
Because they all happened at the same time as the Indie Summit. Mm-hmm. And so so this is an interesting change. So I think this is a great pivot into what is, I think, the major change for folks, which is the schedule that you just described, the changing from the 2-day summit and 3-day core sessions to just 1 5-day festival that combines it all. And also eliminating the different pass types. So it's no longer a summit pass, a core pass, or an all access pass. There's now just the festival pass, which is the week, and then a higher pass for more stuff. So pricing is a big part of it. I think that's certainly the sort of headline good news. But I do want to press you on a couple of things that I think are bad news. So we'll get into that in a bit.
Sure.
But can you give people a brief summary of sort of how it used to be structured and how it's new and what those pricing changes are?
Yeah, I feel like how it used to be structured was that you needed somebody to describe to you the giant crazy chart you were looking at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Best idea we're gonna take.
It's literally its own spreadsheet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like, that was useful for no one. And it changes over time. Mm-hmm. Get it now before it's just way too complicated.
Right.
And it also, again, like kind of getting back to one of the themes is, you know, it segregated people in different spaces. Oh, you're the summit people. Okay. All right. You're the expo people. Okay. I'm like, you're not meeting all these people who are at the show. Mm-hmm. And that I just think it's terrible. Mm-hmm. And so this is the intent of unifying behind a kind of mid-range, differently priced festival pass that's like a entire week-long thing. Mm. Right? So now you can choose to go to the things you want. If you want to go to the Indie Summit related talks, and then you want to pop out and go over to the audio stuff, you want to pop out and go over to a sponsored session of one of the engines that you use, you know, it's easier for you to do that. And you don't have to stop and think to yourself, can I get into this talk?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. That was the thing that always drove me bananas. Yeah, it's just like looking around, like people who had expo passes who could like get into sponsored sessions, but then they try to get into another talk and they were like, oh, no, you're only expo. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's just a terrible experience. You're like, right. You want people to have a good experience at the conference.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's true. That's a great example because, I mean, sponsored talks are kind of like, they're fine, but some of them are pretty good. Like, mm-hmm. you know, but they're immediately suspect, right? Because they're, you know, but as a bonus for Expo Pass holders, it was kind of nice.
Right.
But it created an environment where you would go into the building where everyone else was having their talks and you were reminded over and over and over again, you couldn't go to them.
Yeah.
So I could see that being something, just a bad experience for people, even if you on paper felt like you were getting a credible value for the price of that thing. It still felt like you were just being locked out of so many rooms. Mm-hmm. So I could see the need to sort of just simplify it, if for no other reason than just to like give people a better expectation of what they're going to experience.
Yeah. So we finished this episode here in the clubhouse. We finished recording it.
Yeah, don't be fooled, listener. There's 45 more minutes.
Exactly.
Or something. I don't know where we're going to put this
guess
in exactly.
What? It's awesome.
All of it is. But there's even more content from this episode that we recorded that we're going to release on Patreon.
How dare we? I'm sorry. That's great news.
Yes. Do you want to hear our guest bamboozle us? Do the turns tables onto us?
Yes.
That is... We should say no more.
We absolutely should.
Then you should pay us money.
Yeah. Mark briefly interviews us at the end of the episode. We took that out. We're putting that in the Patreon for you to check out. And how might folks get access to the sweet bonus content, Stephen?
Patreon.com/nicegamesclub. All you got to do is give us a little bit of money and you can have access.
Lydia, I didn't hear it when Stephen said it. Where can people get that?
Can't just like slip a bill under our door. Patreon.com/nicegamesclub.
Okay, so the base festival pass now, the sort of what's being sort of advertised as the sort of cheaper, more affordable option, is $1,200, but it's on sale. And I think when this episode comes out, that's still available, the early bird pricing, for $650. So that is cheaper than a core pass used to be. It's cheaper than an all summits pass used to be. And then there's the game changer pass, which is essentially the same price as the old all access pass. So the first question on this is, I think the headline news is just how much cheaper it is to have that core experience. Even at $650, why is that a good price? Why is that not too expensive?
That's a good question to ask. And I feel like we could talk about market economics.
Yeah, it is a biz dev question. But I think, I think a lot of people, when they critique the pricing of GDC, and, you know, part of this is like the early bird structure. Like, if you can give everybody half off if they act quick, then what is the value? Why was it so expensive to begin with, I guess?
Sure.
And I think a lot of that is, again, BizDev-y, you know, stuff like that. But in the universe of GDC, that price reduction is pretty low. But do you have any insight into, like, why that price, like, the argument as to why that price is a good price?
Yeah. I guess the way that I think about it is that we just did a conference here called Slice in Seattle, which was, we ended up with 900 people. It was the first time doing it. It was a local event, all Seattle indie game developer scene. And we charged people $100 basically for the day.
Okay.
So I think like, well, for 5 days, $100 a day is not too crazy. And like that is in the same sort of realm as the price of this festival pass. But there are a lot of other ancillary things happening at GDC that we didn't do at Slice. Slice was, you know, a handful of rooms of content over the course of the day. So I think from a cost perspective, I'm like, okay, that seems like in the realm of things for a 5-day event.
Yeah.
It's not crazy. What I worry about more, to be honest, is that And when I go to GDC, I could buy a pass, and then I spend three times that much on hotel and travel.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
That's like honestly, that's my core issue right. with getting going to GDC.
Yeah, Steven, you got a free pass as a press pass, and it was
and
still
it's
too expensive.
Still so expensive. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem I wish I could solve, and I'm yeah. like, well, how do we solve this problem? Is really the one. So I'm like. I'm super excited. Like there's a bet being made that having the pass be 45% down from last year will net out, you know, about the same, that some people will come up because they're able to afford it, and a lot of people will go down. Mm-hmm. But then we'll have a more unified experience, you know, that sure. networking and meeting people will be better, because it's just like there's all sorts of really nice effects of having like one pass price, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm still not solving the, like, I just spent $2,500 on freaking hotel rooms
yeah.
and airfare.
I'm not blaming you for that.
Yeah. No, I just wish, yeah, the grand scheme of things, like, this is the question that always comes up. It's like, yeah, I'm going to save, like, half the purchase price. That's awesome. Good job. And the net, like, I'm still spending a lot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I wish there was a way to fix that. Mm.
So I also want to talk about the trade-offs of this simplification.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about the Expo Pass and like the summit passes. You could also buy in previous years, you could buy a pass for an individual summit if you know, for Monday and Tuesday. Both of those, particularly the Expo Pass, both of those were substantially cheaper than the new Festival Pass. And you could get a lot of value out of that. Those are now gone.
Yeah.
So what was the reasoning behind that? Because I think that is going to make as much as the headline news is a price reduction, for
yeah.
a lot of people, particularly a lot of the people who went to the Indie Summit, GDC is now twice as expensive at its lowest price.
Yeah.
Mm. So, I mean, obviously there are trade-offs, the simplification and everything, but what was the thinking behind making those trade-offs?
Yeah, and there's a lot of math equations in it, of course, right? Just mm-hmm. like trying to figure out how do we not take a bath when we're trying to throw such a big event. Mm-hmm. Minimizing risk, all the normal things. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the Expo Pass in particular, I've been wrestling with it because I know many people come in, and I've come in on Expo passes, and like mm-hmm. having people come to Expo is valuable. What the question that I was left with, and kind of like where I've been wrestling, is that as we talked about, like the way the Expo Hall is used is not the way the Expo Hall used to be used. Mm-hmm. Right, the purpose of the Expo Hall is different.
Yeah.
It used to be that it was, you know, people were coming on Expo Pass and they came in with particular targets of, you know, they wanted to go to Forever 21 or Orange Julius, whatever. And that's not really it anymore. What we're talking about really is a space that's designed more as like a networking hangout, learn things from your peers, and also, you know, go and talk to the people you want to talk to at the booth space.
Sure, sure.
So for that, I'm like, well, that's really the festival experience. So from that perspective, like I'm worried. I don't want to lose people who are coming in on Expo passes. Mm-hmm. And I hope some of those people can bump up and can now take part in the, you know, full festival experience. But I still worry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as you were describing the differences of the sort of festival floor, that's the subtext of this, is like, will that provide enough additional value for folks who were coming for, you know, Expo Pass meetings off-site and maybe one or two talks? Will that provide enough value? And certainly a lot of people who have gone on Expo Passes, their motivation is kind of to cheat a little bit, is to get squeeze as much value out of GDC without buying a GDC ticket proper.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're kind of closing that loophole a little bit. But I guess the test is, are those changes going to be worth it for that audience who might not be interested in the full 5-day conference schedule?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, our assertion is that it will be, of course, and we're going to try to, you know, way overshoot the amount of value that we give somebody who picks it up. But I'm, as with all of us in the game industry, we're really good at finding loopholes in design systems.
True.
Yeah.
Right? I've definitely gone to conferences and been like, there's no way I'm paying that rate. You know, I'm going to try and find my way around doing this in some different way.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people will do that too. But I really hope that, I think like, maybe this is not the best perspective, but I feel like from net community building, I'm excited to get more people to come in and like participate in the full experience. And I hope that we get that and that it's an additive effect for the people who are there.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, they get a better, broader experience because more people are there, you know, participating.
Yeah. Are there plans to involve the folks who just hang out at the Yerba Gardens? Because like, you had brought it up before, like a lot of people kind of just hang around GDC.
Yeah.
And the gardens are a part of that experience. Are there plans to like include that community somehow in GDC?
Yeah, we're trying to figure it out.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's a conversation for sure. I mean, one of the things we talked about is like, why don't we take over the gardens and work with those people, you know, to like have those talks broadcast in some way as part of the full experience. Like, I don't know. Like, what's the proper way? We are, as part of the festival, you know, quote unquote festival experience, kind of spreading out. Like, we're going to have some stuff in the Yerba Buena Center. We're trying to work with people in various hotels. We want people to not just have, you know, static booths where you go to talk, but like have experiences and engagement. And maybe those things aren't on the festival floor. Maybe sure. They're, you know, somewhere else.
Yeah.
So that it's more organic. And that could also be the gardens, like figuring out the right way to embrace that community,
it sounds like the plan is to, you said to expand how GDC or where GDC is located. And so it's kind of to include the gardens in that way. Is part of that reasoning maybe to just like make sure that the quality of the whole GDC experience is up to y'all in that way? Because like, you know, because a lot of things happened around GDC, you don't necessarily know what's happening in there until like, you know, things.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people's GDC experience is colored by things that has nothing to do with GDC.
Exactly.
And everybody knows that intellectually, but right. Like culturally, that's something that I imagine the group that puts on the event would have some frustrations with.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot I could say. different thoughts in my head about all that. But one thing that pops to my mind is, did you see where there was a call for partners that went out like 3 or 4 weeks back? I don't know, it didn't really. Yeah, that's our bad. I didn't think it really went out very well either. They do it every year, but it's like the intent is to. Well, what is said is like, if you want to partner with us, drop us a line, tell us what you have in mind. But what was meant was like, for example, somebody who is throwing an event for developers, like audio developers, but they're going to do it at 111 Mina. But it would be great if it could get broadcast out to the GDC community. Like,
sure,
that's the kind of thing that we were talking about.
Okay.
I'm not sure it was communicated super well. We tried to kind of go back and fix that. We're sort of patching here and there, but
kind of like while you're here, here's other things that are happening in the area that right. you might find interesting.
Put a little like recommended, if not endorsed, stamp on
okay.
it.
Okay. Yeah.
The community is self-selecting this, and like maybe they're for some things. We want to be able to have an eyeball on the quality of it or the security around it. You know, if something's taking place at a bar and you want GDC to recommend that people go there, like we want to make sure it's done in a particular way. And so there is some, you know, standardization along some of those things.
Yeah.
I would venture that maybe it did reach some folks who were not interested. I think maybe they need to be proven that like that's worth it to them. Cause there is definitely a cultural attitude amongst GDC attendees that like GDC is in this, you know, these three boxes over here and then everything else. And we don't want the GDC stamp on that. And like how true, how earned or not that is, how fair or unfair that is open to debate. But I would venture that I'm sure that's
yeah, and that's fine,
right? Yeah. People don't feel they need that. They've built up their own like marketing infrastructure. They either don't want it or they don't need it. So I guess the onus is on GDC to not only get people interested in sharing that, like having a co-branding thing, but also really like making sure that it's valuable to them, right?
Yeah. Oh, and they can choose. If they don't want it, I mean. The good news is that the event conference is happening, so a bunch of people are coming to town.
Right. Yeah.
If it helps you to have an affiliation or like, did you see the GDC carousel?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So John Sagerson, who he basically buys out the carousel for a day, and anybody who's a game developer with a badge can come ride the merry-go-round, which I think is amazing, just because for fun. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I talked to him like, well, we could have like an official relationship and then people could hear about it because it could be in the program or whatever. We go ride the carousel. Or, you know, if it's not in there, it kind of sounds like more like a cool, you know, do you know about the thing kind of thing?
Yeah.
Which
is also awesome, right? In a different way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I want people to be able to choose. And if it's useful for the event that you're doing to have it broadcast out to the community, have more people know about it. Maybe it's not. Mm-hmm. But if it is, you know, and there's a way we can partner up to help with that, then great. I think that the thing that I'm recognizing more and more over time, and I'm not immune from it either, is that when I first started going to GDC, you know, we all could fit at the Fairmont Hotel bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? In San Jose. And you go there and you'd see everybody. And it felt like, you know, the conference that was by developers for developers, because you could see here were all the developers. Mm-hmm. Now it's 30,000 people coming together and it's still by developers for developers, but it feels, because it's so big, it feels more a little bit like Informa's throwing the GDC and you're invited. And like, that is not, you know, GDC is a conference that came from the community and it needs to be the community.
Mm-hmm.
If there are things happening that are making the community not want to show up, like, we need to fix that. We got to talk about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can see a value of I mean, maybe it's dull or like, you know, square, but like having a more top down kind of thing is very helpful to people. Don't have to learn the secret language of what else is happening.
Right.
I think definitely my first GDC, I was like, wait, people do meetings here?
Mm-hmm.
Like just not knowing that, like on the plane to the event is kind of incredible, but that still happens for a lot of first time attendees.
Yeah.
So, you know, just all of those things. I can definitely see the value of that, convincing people of that, that's not a net negative trade-off for them is another matter, I suppose. So I want to talk a little bit about, because you're talking about all of these, the sort of expansion, a lot of that includes new programming that is part of the Game Changer Pass, which is the full price premium ticket that's the same price as the old All Access Pass.
Right, right.
And I think what struck me as a little bit maybe frustrating about a lot of the press releases that came out when the festival was announced is this idea of it's cheaper and it has all this new interesting stuff. But I think, and it, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of that new interesting stuff, the experimental things, the new meeting system, game plan, there's a Yerba Buena Gardens picnic kind of thing. There's a bunch of interesting new ideas that I suspect will be iterated on. A lot of that is tied with that premium badge. So can you tell, for someone who is getting the cheaper badge, they're spending less than they did before on, if they were buying a core thing, and they're getting the sort of spread out, little more easygoing schedule. Those are positives. But what else is new for those people? Because a lot of the headline new items are not available to them.
Mm. I guess the way that, if the languaging around it is not clear or interesting, then that's on us. What I want to say to people is like the bottom line is the thing that you've always gotten is now 45% cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all the things instead of just part of the things maybe that you were doing before. And that it's a festival. So there's like, you know, all the network, all the neighborhoods on the show floor, all the spreading out into different areas and hopefully more engaging experiences, trying to have more partners that do more like wacky, crazy things that are more game developer-y. Hopefully all of that is still super exciting and engaging. And there's definitely some new there.
Yeah.
The way that I relate to the Game Changers Pass is if you're a studio head running your own business, industry exec, and you spend your time like running from hotel suite to hotel suite, showing people your game, or you're holed up at the Intercontinental the entire time and never see the show. Like what we're trying to do with Game Changers is like make your life easier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there's a bunch of things we haven't tried before, and you know, I hope that people find it interesting, but I don't know that it's what everybody will find interesting.
And sure,
that's why it's useful as an option. So yeah, you're a bunch of the things you talked about, like we're talking about having a space for quick meetings for people, like that you can hole up and have like a little bit of an NDA vibe space, you know, but on demand quickly. we're talking, yeah, there's going to be food and drink, you know, as part of that pass to some extent. We're looking at what kind of content might be relative to that community that we could do that maybe the rest of the community is not super interested in. And that's a tough line to work out, right? Because everybody's interested in everything to some
extent. Yeah.
I'm like, so that's a work in progress. We're having a lot of conversations around that. But I think about like the stuff that was done at DICE over the years as being interesting content for that. You know, we have somebody from an ancillary related field come in and talk about like how they design something or something. And it gives you insight into maybe how ways you can do it.
Yeah.
That are different. You know, this kind of thing, like, yeah, it would be relative and interesting to the body in general, but particularly this community, maybe more interesting.
Yeah.
So maybe that would be value add for them. Yeah. Trying to figure out all that stuff. That's the way that I think about game changers is that the game plan, I'm super fascinated by, and I'm curious to see how this is going to go. Cause it's, if you look at these other festivals, almost all these other festivals have some kind of curated networking program where, you say, I'm interested in these kind of people, these kind of meetings. And so does somebody else. And you get matched up by a system or by a person behind it. And then you can say, yes, I want to meet with that person, or no, I don't want to meet with that person. But then like the structure of the meetings is set up like, okay, you're going to meet at this table at this time. Da, 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 da. If both of you say yes, good, I'm going to go. That's kind of what game plan is. And it's a huge part, I think, particularly of like Money 2020. I forget one of those. We never have done that in the game industry at all. Like, huh, how would that work? And there are so many different kinds of people with different, I'm not sure. I have lots of questions.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to figure that out. And you know, we've got somebody who's done a bunch of these programs and is super smart and has learned about kind of the way the games industry business works and is trying to, you know, take some good shots at that this year and see, you know, if we get people, if we can introduce people, my go-to is always like, if there's an indie game developer who couldn't get a meeting with one of the platforms or one of the funders because they weren't, you know, they weren't at the show or they were, you know, not whatever, and we can get them to meet each other and a game comes out of it, mission accomplished. This is our goal. Like if there's some way we can make these connections, this is what the magic of GDC is, right? It's like trying to meet all these people, but now there's 30,000 people. So trying to find the people you're trying to meet is just harder and harder and harder.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a way we can make that easier. And that's what game plan is going to attempt to do.
Sure.
Yeah. I was really interested in reading about that. And I think it was, and I suppose, you know, it's new, and the scope of it is such that maybe it can't be offered to all attendees. But that I was a little bit disheartened to learn that was only in the Game Changers Pass, because it felt that kind of speed dating more. Because I mean, I've done Game Connect at GDC, which happens during the same week, and is also like stupid expensive. And GDC has always had its like directory of attendees that you can ask for a meeting for folks. That's been not, in my opinion, that has not been that successful populated. But those things have always been, okay, now we're just in a text chain together. Let's decide where to meet, how, and all the logistical details. So the idea that you're doing this thing that is just very structured and easier on the logistics side is so appealing to me. And it feels like that would really benefit folks who are, you know, going to GDC on their last dime.
Right.
Is there a discussion about, because I know there's new networking features in the app this year. What is the networking experience for the festival pass holder to sort of make that into one easy question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think it's largely the same as previous years with the addition of, you know, more opportunity for networking through the events in the evenings and on the show floor through the neighborhoods and that kind of thing. And hopefully in the sort of whatever we're going to call the like proto summit pieces of summits, we're going to come up with a term for that. So hopefully those all help. There's speed networking, which we've had before. So a lot of the things that we had before, those are all going to continue. I don't want to oversell game plan if, you know, as the first time out of the box, we don't want to say like, everybody has access to game plan. And then if it doesn't go well, we're like, just craters, right? So keeping it to some extent, keeping it a smaller experience and making sure people have a high quality, you know, they get value out of it. And then we can grow it from there. Great. Like I guess one way we could say it is like, if you want to pay the all access pass price from last year, you can get access to it and give it a go. But I'm like, I don't want 30,000 people signing up for Game Plan when we haven't launched it before, right? Yeah.
Right. So is that
being able to do it with a smaller subset
to really like hone in on that? Because that does make a lot of sense to me. It's like it's a new thing. You have to test it, right? And like, you know, it's hard to play test a thing like that. So you just got to do it. And a smaller group makes a little more sense.
That's exactly how I think about it. Yeah.
So is that entirely the reason that, was it designed for the studio head, publisher rep, investor type who would get the Game Changer Pass? Or is it intended to be tested and then provided to everyone in the future, or some version of it anyway?
Yeah, I think the answer is just yes.
Okay. That's good to hear. That's really good to hear.
Yeah, because you can't, like, that community, so the Game Changer community, if it's all industry execs, the people that we want them to meet are maybe not industry execs, mm-hmm. or maybe not the people who are going to be able to afford to buy Game Changer passes, mm-hmm. right? I want the guy who made Stardew Valley to be able to meet, not that he's necessarily going to take funding, but I want him to be able to meet people in case he wants to, sure. right? Mm-hmm. But, he might not be in that community yet. So it's got to be a broader community over time. We absolutely mm-hmm. have to do that. But we got to make sure that, my question was, is this going to work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so I see it work in all sorts of other places, but I've never seen it work in a game industry context. But I don't know why. It seems like it should be able to work. So, let's figure out how to make it work. And then
while you're testing that in the smaller pool, you're the kind of what you're trying to fill the gap that is missing at the moment is making more of those smaller, more frequent, smaller opportunities for people to meet others and kind of cross-pollinate ideas in that way, because it's easier to do that in smaller, more interest-based concept or context than you're in a room of 30,000 people. So that's kind of how you're trying to fill in that gap for the general pass goer.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different shots you can take at this, right? Mm-hmm. To try to make it seem smaller and more accessible and have mm-hmm. people meet the people. I think about, have you ever done the gig that happens once a month? What's that stand for? Game Industry Gathering?
I'm a regular there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. Conceptually, I love it. You're going to meet a ton of people, but they're going to be random people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and that's all right. Like, I've had some of my most successful things that I've done have come from meeting random people.
Yeah.
But also, I would like to meet non-random people.
Yeah.
sure.
Particularly thing I'm targeting. So, trying to figure out the right way to do that. And you can take a couple cracks at it. You can, take a crack at it through summits, through interest groups, like the kids' dinner that I mentioned a couple times is an example of that. And this is another example of that. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've got one hard question left.
Okay.
And then I want to talk about audience takeaways, because that's a big GDC theme. Mm-hmm. So you did mention a little bit.
In my head, I'm going to guess what the hard question is in my head, and we'll see.
Well, you hinted at it earlier with expanding out to more social events. And a big part of this was GDC Nights, which launched last year, the year before. Mm. And that seems to be, that's part of the festival pass. And so that's something that is available to all attendees. You've talked also about, trying to just bring more of that in-house. And so I want to ask you a little bit about the sort of the social culture of GDC, because historically there's been some troubling aspects to it, particularly with alcohol at events. And so, and you'd mentioned safety as a big, big motivator. I have an opinion on this, which is so that colors my question here, which is I don't think there should be alcohol at any of these types of events, but I understand that's not the majority opinion, and the aim has been to make events with those things just safer. I think that's a fool's errand, but I want to ask you about GDC getting more involved in that side of it, mixers, evening events. Is GDC attempting to essentially take responsibility or even liability for that part of the culture of that week, owning some of that?
Yeah, that's a perfect question to ask. Because as you said, there have been concerns around it. So I think that where I would start is that telling people they can't drink is never going to work.
That's true. That's true.
For some people, right? A lot of people, they're happy not to drink. But a lot of people, the history of the game industry is a lot of drinking.
Yeah.
Right. Traditionally, like way back. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's slowly over time and less. But so the question is not like, how do I keep people from drinking, but if people are going to drink, in what settings can I make it safer? And in what settings does it make sense for me to try to help out with that? So GDC Nights is one of those things. Like we were recognizing people were going to events. Things were happening at events we had no control over. People were having bad experiences, and they would say it was because of GDC, but we had no relationship to it. So the partner program can help with that. We can say, well, you know, we've vetted some of this experience that you're going to have and put our GDC seal on it. We're comfortable with it. We think it's going to be safer if you do that. So that helps. And then the night events, you know, we can control those. Mm-hmm. Great. So like we can, that helps immensely. Yeah. Right. We've got complete control over that. Great. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, you want to have a safer experience, we can make it safer that way. San Francisco itself as a city, the safety of it. I know some people have had bad experiences with, people on the street or going to a bar that's just a bar in the city, and bad things have happened that we're completely unrelated to. We're trying, like, what can we do to make that experience safer is what we're going to try everything we can. So we've got the hotline you can call if you don't feel safe, if you need to walk back to your hotel, things like that. We have relationships with the private security agency, which I'm spacing on the name of right now, but we broadcast out, you know, that you can get a hold of them as well. Okay. We're working with the city to try to find ways to get more people on the streets so that, you know, maybe some of the events that we're talking about that are in the evenings are some blocks away from the conference. Like people, if you're not from San Francisco, it can be a little gritty. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to find ways to, you know, guide people and have the paths from here to there be safe. I think that like, for me, this comes up so much, so frequently, mm-hmm. and it has for years, right? You'll hear just like one bad experience. Somebody will have a really, really bad experience. And I'm just like, oh my God, you know, what could we have done as a conference to help out that, to mitigate that, to fix that? Or even like when they've had that experience to just to help that person out, you know, mm-hmm. with whatever we can do.
Yeah.
If it's something that was completely unrelated to the show, it makes it a heck of a lot harder for us to do much.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, so trying to find ways. This is like the partner program is intended for part of this for sure. And mm-hmm. the evening events are intended for part of this for sure.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit like you're making a line so it's clear what is part of GDC, what is not part of GDC. So it's a little bit of a, like a buyer beware, like you are going outside of the safe harbors. If you go to someone's room or you go to this bar with this person and it's not a part of an event. But then also a little bit of like a magic circle kind of situation where if you're within here, then you can have hopefully a reasonable sense that if something happens, you can get help or get something done about it. So is that accurate kind of what you're trying, what having these nights is definitely trying to achieve in, you know, somewhat limited ways where things can go wrong?
Yeah. I think that's right. I keep thinking about one of the things when I was at Sony, we did parties at GDC for 2 or 3 years in a row. Mm-hmm. And there was alcohol at those parties and, you know, loud bands and blah, 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 blah. And so we tried to have security for what happened there and mm-hmm. keep an eye on what happened there.
Right.
But as soon as people walked out the front door, like we had no control over what happened. And maybe those people had just gotten completely hammered, mm-hmm. you know, and like, what are the things that you can do to try to help out in those situations? You know, getting private security, finding ways to walk people back, you know, these kind of things help getting people to do buddies. But ultimately, people are going to do what people are going to do. And that's exasperating because we want people to have a great experience.
Yeah.
Trying to find as many ways as possible for that.
There is definitely like two schools of thought is like, can we mitigate? Can we moderate? And this is the same thing in like online gaming as well. It's like, or the bigger challenge is, do we change the culture so we don't have to do as much of this? I'm in the latter camp, but I understand that is the bigger challenge.
Yeah.
So it does sound like that GDC is taking on the responsibility. Because you've laid out a couple of specific areas, but for certainly the events you host and partner with, you're accepting that responsibility.
Well, I think trying to find ways to make people's experience better is like the goal of the conference. So every way that we can do that, Yeah, for sure.
Okay. I mean, that's a step, you know? I mean, whichever way you do it, doing something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, doing something. Yeah, and we really need to talk about all of it a lot more as we run up to the conference.
Yeah.
Make sure people are aware of it. Because when you're in that situation, you're having a bad experience, like, and you're in a city that you don't know, like, what's the next step for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That should be really clear. We've got to make sure that we're clear about that.
And I think it should be very clear, like, my message to listeners is, a big brand putting its poster in front of the door doesn't necessarily provide the prompter of safety.
Yeah.
I've been to Xbox mixers that were not a place that I would recommend anybody enter. You know what I mean? And like, that's one of the biggest companies in the world. They should have all, you know. And so I think the onus is on GDC to prove that it can provide a safe environment. So it sounds like you're ready to prove that to people.
Yeah, I guess what I would say is every year we do more and more to try to make sure that everybody is safer. You know.
Okay, that's the end of the hardball question.
Yeah. That was a good question. I'm glad you asked that because it's important.
Good. I appreciate you addressing it because I think it's something that the more we talk about it out loud is important.
The better.
And the more we don't just say like we're doing stuff. Like
we're
hearing specific things you're doing.
That's good.
And that's good.
Yeah. Well, and specifically with like there's going to be more evening events this year, right? There's like an evening event Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night. So like that just ramps up the importance of safety, right?
Right.
So we got to step up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do audience takeaways.
Yeah.
So this is something you get from a GDC talk. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to get that from this talk as well.
Uh-huh.
So the three of us, the hosts of Nice Games Club, we're very different developer profiles.
Yes.
And so I kind of want you to talk.
Why did you sound like that when you said yes?
I don't know. I'm the jaded profile, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Isn't that every game developer? I don't know.
Yeah, in different ways.
So you can answer this one at a time or all together. But to summarize, the three of us, Steven is currently looking for work.
Yes.
In mid-size indie is what you're aiming at?
That'd be my ideal.
Yeah, that's where you feel comfortable. That's where you can go the farthest.
Mid to small size,
Mid to small size indie. I'm a fully independent developer. I have my own little LLC. So I'm generally looking to pitch things and maybe do some freelance work. Lydia is in the learning game space.
Positive impact games. So not just learning, but other things.
So is definitely looking to broaden your horizons, probably more than Steven and I are.
Yes.
At an event like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all have different goals coming to GDC. We're all, you know, part of its target audience.
Yeah.
And I also represent someone who has never been to GDC.
A first timer.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So awesome. Can you speak a little bit to each of our experiences? Like, what would our takeaway be from the new GDC?
Yeah. I mean, they're so different, but I mean, at the core is just meeting lots of people, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of the main thing.
Hey, let me at him.
I'm glad you're excited.
I love conferences. I really do.
I like meeting people, but I get very exhausted when I go to GDC.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, I need like a 2-week recovery afterwards, but.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. For me, I've always been puzzled as to how people can go out and get hammered during GDC and then actually like be able to operate the next day during the show.
They don't go to the talks is what happens.
Yeah, I guess so.
Which is a bummer.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I'll just look at it on the vault later.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. If you haven't gone to amirsotbutt.com, to try to find jobs in the indie community, you should do that immediately.
The name of that one? Because I probably got to note it.
You know, Amir? Now I've got it. That's who you should have on next. Amir Sotbutt?
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. If I can introduce you to him, my life will be complete. Amir, A-M-I-R, Sotbutt, SATVAT.com. So he is like an Uber connector of people and just like the nicest, kindest person in the world. I think this has been since the pandemic. Like during the pandemic, I think he started to do this, but it's like this like created this community of people who support each other and introduce each other. Yeah. So you should go and look at that. And at the show, I need to talk to Amir and probably have him come give a talk is what I need to do. I gotta think about this.
Sure.
But that like the community that is served well by Amir is also the community that you should be able to tap into, and we need to find ways to help you do that.
So sounds like that's there are communities available. Hopefully, maybe GDC can highlight some of those communities for folks like me who are looking for work at the moment, so that I can find jobs because it's hard for me on my own to do it. And that's why GDC would be beneficial. Like you said, a bunch of people will be there.
Yeah.
I can talk to them and hopefully.
Is it $1,200 useful is the question? That's the question.
Exactly.
Right?
That is the question.
Or is like work with Indies as a partner program thing? Because I know that they also have had meetups outside of GDC for similar reasons.
Yeah. And there's like, gosh, I think about the Indie Mega booth. I think about the community around IGF and like the people who come to the IGF awards is a good, great group of people to meet.
Sure.
Indiecade. And there's tons of like great groups of people to tap into. There's too many is really, really a challenge. It's like figuring out where to go. And like you said, it's exhausting. I mean, it's just that it's, you gotta eat your Wheaties and bring your vitamins and
we'll be doing that.
Ring the.
Well, I think Stephen, what we, like, you know, Mark is that you're kind of like, but you're also got a big smile on your face.
Yeah.
Which is that that sounds very accurate to the conference experience. And I know, Stephen, that is challenging for you.
Yes.
Personality wise. But like that's
weird because I'm like a social person, but like GDC in particular is very exhausting for me, and I think it's just because of the way that I have to, I feel like I have to present myself in a way that I'm not accustomed to.
Well, I totally get that. I think that's normal,
and that's not a GDC issue, that's just a me going to conference thing. That's a personal problem.
I mean, most game developers I think are like that. I mean, we got into games because we're like, you know, the particular things we like to focus on and work on, and maybe they don't really have to do with like talking to people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's me anyway. I'm like, I like people, but I would rather sit here and I think I'm really behind and I've been playing Ball Pit lately, but
nice. I need to check that out. I've heard good things.
I never finished Blueprints. I mean, I need to finish Blueprints.
No one ever finishes Blueprints.
Steven, you finished Blueprints.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah, except me.
Steven needs a job.
Yes.
But I think the thing that I like about GDC is I feel like I'm a little more comfortable just me personally being an idiot and like sitting at a table and being like, I know because you're here that you're interested in games. Like, I'm just going to sit down and be like, so what's your story? tell me who you are and why you're here. And I'll do the same. And, you know, maybe I'll meet somebody interesting. Maybe I won't. I kind of have a habit of walking up to people that look like they're sitting by themselves and just be like, hey, you know, I know we have something in common already. Yeah, let's see if we have more in common.
Cool. Well, providing that environment, I think, I don't know why this is the analogy I'm thinking of, but I'm thinking of like people who are like really good at standardized tests.
Yeah.
It's like, but the standardized tests are for everybody.
Right.
But there are certain people who are good at it. And I feel like that's very similar to a conference experience.
Yes.
I feel very well suited to a conference experience, but, and you don't.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make me more deserving of the benefits of a conference than you. And so I think the what we were talking about earlier in the episode, the sort of like the guides and more guidance from the organization rather than just like, here's your ticket.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that applies, I guess, to Lydia as well as a newbie.
Yeah.
What can you tell someone who this is their first GDC?
Well, Lydia and I should bond over the kind of games that we're working on at Indie Studio, and I should introduce you to some sessions.
Yes, please. Yes, please. I'm also interested, interested in narrative design, which is, I guess, the branching out as well as just general learning and liking to know things.
Yeah. There are good. Those are good examples of like tight, smaller communities that are like, finding. I guess that is a question. Like, what is the best way to get somebody who's new to the show, you know, who I don't know what they're interested in, but may be interested in a small community of the conference. Like, how do I get that person to meet that community?
Yeah.
So like, for you, I'm like, great. You like the same kind of stuff that I like. I know exactly what I can tell you. Like,
right.
Go to this. But for, you know, somebody who's, I don't know, making procedural textures or something like that. I'm really interested in AI tools for procedural textures. How do I direct them to that other community of people who do that thing? If there's a talk around that thing, that can serve as like a cohesive point for it.
Yeah.
But if there are arcs or communities, like finding a way for us to highlight that is super important. One thing we can do is if we can find members of those communities and then like have them talk about it and then, you know, do an interview or I don't know, post a list of like, are you most like this person or this person, this person? Like that could help. Yeah. I think some of these things are like things I've seen other conferences do well or poorly that we can riff off of. And then there are some that are super unique to the game industry and like figuring out the right way to do it. And it should be gamified. Like, why are we not? It's like no like meta game at GDC. I don't know why. But that should be some kind of game.
It's a little weird.
Every year I'm like,
just like,
what, it's got to be something.
Yeah.
Like, there was a year of GDC where this would never fly now, by the way, but they're here at GDC where everybody had a particular color on their badge. And they were like, I don't know, 12 colors or something. I forget, a fairly high number for the size of the event. And then everybody got a dart gun and one dart. You were told, like, you have to seek out somebody of color X.
Yeah.
And then, you know, whoever wins the standoff, like, you get promoted, and now there's like another tier of things you have to do with people to find and whatever, whatever. So there was like a little overarching game intended. And I met a couple of really cool people that way who I'm still in touch with. Like, I don't know that we want to encourage like people to shoot each other at the conference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not that.
But I mean, very game. Yeah. Right? This is, but it was so cool to have that meta game there.
Yeah. I'm like, well, it speaks a little bit to, you mentioned gig earlier in the episode of the, some randomization. Some just forcing two people in a room, and like maybe they have a lot in common. Maybe they'll walk away forgetting each other, or they'll walk away best friends. But you just create enough of those interactions, and maybe weaponry is not the way, but
right,
something like that in the future. Yeah, to try.
Yeah, yeah. It occurs to me as you say that, like, maybe this is one of the areas that like helps understand the usefulness of game plan, is that there are people who, when you say, "Oh, I'm gonna generate a bunch of randomness, you're going to meet 12 random people who are like, I'm really freaking busy, I want to like meet the three people who I really need to meet." I'm like, okay, well, that's what we're going to intend game plan to be when we get it sorted out, right? Okay, I don't want to introduce you to the nine people you said you don't want to, even though you probably, your life would be better if you didn't.
Yeah.
But you said this. Great, I can help you with that.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess you have to address my concerns.
Right.
Which is,
people.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I've, like, the thing about GDC and my history with it is, like, I've gone on alumni passes, I've gone on press badges. This year, I'm a speaker.
Yeah.
And so I have, I've tried to go as cheap as possible because I'm looking to actually invest my money in my business, which is not something I used to be good at doing. And now I'm being much more strict about it. First couple of years, this is what I always tell people, it's wildly expensive. If you can't go, you're not any less a part of this community.
Yeah.
But if you can, and even though it is a waste of money, you should go once. And that's what I tell people, because it is a little Disneylandy. Now you can walk out with not a lot of like professional value from it, but you still get a lot of value.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm well past that now.
Yeah.
It needs to, every dime needs to count now, because, like, you know, I'm in indie making my own things.
Yeah.
So as someone who it doesn't have the advantages I have, who could scrape enough together for a festival pass, how can you convince me that GDC and not exclusively all the stuff around GDC is valuable to me?
Yeah. For me, what I always think is, it's just such a target-rich environment.
Yeah.
You know, there is no other event that I know of where 30,000 developers come together. So you start with that. Like, you could go to Gamescom, you could go to DICE, you'd find different communities and smaller communities, and there are different values for different things.
Sure.
But so many people are at GDC. So if you've got something and you're trying to find your audience, you're trying to find the person who's there, who's going to give you money to get you to, you know, finish your next sprint or whatever, like, that person is probably there. The real goal is for us to help you find them. That's the tricky part for us.
Yes.
That's our job, right? You're coming to our conference. That's our job. This is what you stated you're going to do. So trying to find ways to get communities of people together to do that is important, to provide venues where you can sit down and have a conversation. And you're not like going up into somebody's bedroom on the 13th floor of a hotel nearby.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
Uh-huh.
But that's pretty much how it goes right now.
It is.
Like, we're working on that, trying to figure out how to do that.
Okay.
You know, it's a tough, tough problem. I think as an indie pitching, like, trying to find publishing or funding, the communities of people, there are lots of communities of people you should be tapping into. I'm sure you're tapping into all of them. And a lot of those people are also meeting at the conference, and the, like, double tapping at the conference. So, like, maybe you met them at DICE, or maybe you met them at the A16Z speedrun.
Yeah.
And then at GDC, you're like, I'm moving the conversation forward. Like, I'm here, you're here, let's meet up, let's have a coffee. Like, that's so important. Like, one and done never gets you anything.
Yeah. Right? Well, it sounds like as much as you're trying to bring the experience of the week under the roof of GDC, it still is valuable that there is stuff that happens outside GDC.
Yeah.
That's not something you're looking to eliminate.
we'd be crazy, right?
Right.
The GDC is a community event.
Yeah.
The community's there. The community is going to community. Like, that's good for us.
Yeah.
I want people there. If they're going to go meet in a coffee shop, they don't have to meet in a coffee shop on the expo floor, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Go do awesome things together.
Well, and all of that sounds like that's the thing that I'm hearing from this past hour is the stuff that's the work in progress, mm-hmm. that this is the first step towards an evolution on that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's end on that process of iteration. So how are you going to, in April next year, what are you going to look at to determine if this new approach was successful? What signs and metrics are you measuring?
Yeah, well, there's like the traditional metrics, right? Which are how many people showed up, how many passes were bought, how many people came to particular talks. So I've seen those metrics. Being on the advisory board, I've seen those metrics for a few years. I kind of have a like general understanding of how things go. But that is not my focus. It is and it's not. What I'm interested in is that the conference is growing to meet the needs of more people more successfully.
Mm-hmm.
Like they called me the exec director for innovation and growth, but it's like the innovation part is the part that I'm interested in because it's what brings the growth, right?
Yeah.
If we're like, we need to measure those new things that we've tried and find new ways to measure them.
Mm.
And some of those new ways, honestly, are just going to be me calling people and be like, hey, did you find funding? You know, who did you talk to? Did you have good conversations? Like, what worked for you well and what didn't work for you? What can we, and then like closing the loop on it. It's like, I guess I relate to everything as a game development process.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it shouldn't be a surprise, but like what's the iteration? Like, tell me what worked, what didn't. Let's try to do more of what worked. How do I get a big enough community of people that I can get enough data about what worked that now I have signal through noise and I can like find what the things are that actually are useful. And it'll be a spread of things. Some things will work well for some and not for others. The important thing is to just like be smart enough to actually get that data and have actions on it.
Yeah.
Not be like, hey, you know, 100 people downloaded my game and only 3 of them spent longer than 5 minutes, but 100 people downloaded my game. Yay. No, the important part is like they didn't have a good experience. Like, don't like fix that. Do the things that are working well for people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's important. I do feel like is a little bit difficult to get quantitative data, you know, as a result at the end of GDC this year, since what we're trying to do is try a bunch of new things and see how well it goes.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably a lot of conversations with people.
I guess one thing I'm kind of curious as part of that, because it's so qualitative, are you broadcasting at all the fact that this is step one of an iterative process, that you are probably going to be postmortemming this, and that you are looking at this not as this is new and fully fleshed, come from the Seafoam, but it is a step in a different direction with more to come.
Mm.
Is that something that you're broadcasting now? And is that something that once, you know, everyone's gone to GDC and there's going to be press and there's going to be opinion pieces about how did it go and what did it mean and was it different? Is that something that you're going to be explicitly saying, yeah, this is like, we're taking this all in because this was step one of an iterative process? I'm sure it's a little weird for that, just PR and marketing wise for an event, but that is such a game.
Yeah, come to our beta.
Yeah. We're soft launching this new thing.
Yeah.
This new old thing.
I mean, in addition to that question, are there going to be avenues for people to provide that kind of feedback? I'm sure that GDC already has that. And like, you know, some people have a larger platform than others. Like, we will be starting our piece when we go to GDC next year.
Hot takes incoming.
Uh-huh. But I imagine there are folks who maybe have attended, you know, the show floor, but don't have an avenue in which to, you know, state their mind. And I'm hoping that there will also be places for people to be able to do that as well.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that out loud. Now you're making me think about it more. You're right. You're
glad
absolutely
I said
right.
Then.
Get one of those like booths with a video camera where you can press the button and you can just give feedback.
That'd be fun.
And then you can leave. I mean, it's from that. There's a really good video that I watch every time I playtest about how to do good playtesting.
Yeah.
One of the things they had was that little photo booth where you could record thoughts. Like kids could just go in and record their own thoughts about it. And that was like the purest, most crystallized good feedback they ever got.
That's cool.
Less effort than filling out a form.
Yeah.
Putting the work on the data collectors and not the data providers.
Yeah.
We've asked a million questions, but I want to, Lydia, your question is brilliant. I want to hear, like, how are you communicating that iterative approach to people right now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess it's me stumbling and saying things that press-trained people probably wouldn't say. Because I'm more interested in communicating to game developers. and game developers understand iteration, so I don't want to say, like, we're doing this new thing, and it's going to be completely fully formed, and you're going to love it. Like, that's what a marketer says.
Right.
I'm a game developer. I'm like, we're going to try a bunch of really interesting stuff that we know attempts to address challenges in the community. GDC has been like frozen in time for a few years, decades, whatever, doing the same thing. And it's worked well for a while for some people. Great. There are more people and the industry's changed. We got to try new things.
Right.
Some of those things might not go very well, but I hope enough of them go great. You know, that people are like, it was worth it for me to be there. And I got a result that I can like look at on a piece of paper and say, I'm going to come back next year. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my goal.
Yeah. And I think, there's no doubt you've already thought of this and everyone there is, but I would also advise especially because pricing is changing, which is more people will come and less people will come.
Right.
Is find a way to get information from people who aren't coming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Useful information.
Yes. Right. Right. Not just like the angry tweet.
Yeah.
Which is, I suppose, also useful. It's just heart-wrenching. Like, I'm not that strong in my heart that, like, I can ignore when people are pissed off at the thing that I'm working on. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I take it in, and then I'm like, okay, I'm going to go, like, for a long walk.
Sure.
You know? Just the same, you know, it's the same as the game industry. Like, you spend a bunch of time working on a thing and you want it to go well. Yeah. It's way easier to put things on blast. I mean, I worked at the White House, right? There's a lot of putting things on blast.
Yeah.
All over the place. But that it never makes it easier.
Right.
Well, one of the things you said that stuck with me, you know, and I appreciate it, just thinking about, like, I know that we can get good feedback from executives, and I know from like strong people in particular disciplines, because that's the advisory board, from people who are sponsors on the show floor or who show up and, you know, do banners or whatever, we can get good feedback from them pretty easily. Mm-hmm. The people who I have a harder time reaching are like the Amir Safat community. It just jumps to mind because I'm like, I just don't have as much reach into that community, but I know that community exists, and like I can go there, and I need to go there and like have conversations and understand. Indie developers, like, I know where the communities exist. I need to talk to more.
Yeah, you know,
I feel like even the word indie developers is sort of like, I'm not sure why we use it anymore, because we're
it's such a huge, disparate
multi-headed monster community, right?
Yeah.
but like people who are particularly like small companies that are new and trying to find a way to take this thing that they're pouring out of their heart, like get it to the community of people who will love it. Mm-hmm. Like those people, I want to give a big hug and like understand exactly what they need and how we can serve them better. Because that's like the game industry grows from that.
Right.
It's like all the innovation, new ideas, clever, crazy, weird. I was describing the game Unpacked. Mm-hmm. Somebody earlier today, they thought it was a lunatic. And I'm like, who would make that game? And I'm like, I love that somebody made that game. Mm-hmm. It was great. Like, that's where we get what the game industry is all about, as far as I'm concerned. Give me the crazy, wacky stuff I've never heard of. I've played, I don't know, Madden Football 8,000 times. Is a great game, but I don't need to play it 10,000 times. But there are plenty of people who will love it.
Mm-hmm.
I want the new thing. So figuring out the best way to talk to those people and make sure they're having a good experience is probably something I need to do more of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it always is, really.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine even if you did a lot of it, you'd still feel that way.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Yeah. I think you're right.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for spending this time with us and for answering all our questions and giving us some background. I think listeners will appreciate the candor, but also some of the concrete information that is sort of hard to get.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is a value for folks to determine, like, if GDC is something that they can invest in or something they should at least keep their eye on.
Mm-hmm.
As they, you know, advance their careers. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for having me. Also, just thank you for what you do. Like, the podcast that was my introduction to what you were doing was when, I don't know, So I was listening to the audio, so I'm not sure who was doing it, but you were building the ladder game. I was like, these are my people.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. Great.
Nice. I'll tell him you said that. Yeah,
So thank you. Yeah, it was great meeting you. I really enjoyed chatting with you.
That's our show. You can find Mark online on Blue Sky and LinkedIn, and we'll put the links for that in the show notes, so check that out. For show notes and additional links from today's conversation, go to our website, nicegames.club. Nice Games Club is on Patreon. Support the show and get stuff, including ad-free episodes delivered to you 1 week early. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. Discuss this episode or others or whatever with your fellow listeners on Discord. Stop by nicegames.club/discord and say hello. Next week, we're going to be looking at art with fail states and interactivity versus play. Heady topics. Mm-hmm. So tune in for that. But that's it for this week. So until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice.
I'm getting yelled at. Give me a second. I've got to get Bowser.
Oh. Sure.
This is a cat?
Oh, thank you.
Or a dog. Yes.
Or a dog.
I guess we'll find out.
We need to see this animal.
Okay. Bowser.
Yeah.
It's a doggo.
All right, goofball.
Aw.
I was getting yelled at. Sorry about that. Yeah. He's standing in the door going, arr, arr.
So what are Bowser's thoughts on this?
Yeah. Episode on pause.
Like, I love it. Whatever you do, Dad, I'm down.
Aww.
Don't leave me.
So
bring
cute.
Me with you.
There you go.
Yeah, he gets when I'm at the computer most of the time. He's like, I want to be in your lap. Ignoring him. So that was unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that.
Okay, so the base festival pass.